Chapter 33, entitled The Rasa Dance. Today we're reading text 31, right? Yes. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudirayet. Ishvaranam Vacha Satyam. Tatai Ishvaranam Vacha Satyam. Tatai Vacharitam Kochit. Tatai Vacharitam Kochit. Tesham Yat Svavacho Yuktam. Tesham Yat Svavacho Yuktam. Purimam Stat Samacharat. Purimam Stat Samacharat. Ishvaranam Vacha Satyam. Tatai Vacharitam Kochit. Tesham Yat Svavacho Yuktam. Purimam Stat Samacharit. Ishvaranam Vacha Satyam. Ishvaranam Vacha Satyam. Tatai Vacharitam Kochit. Tesham Yat Svavacho Yuktam. Purimam Stat Samacharit. Ishvaranam. Of the Lord's empowered servants. Vacha. The words. Satyam. True. Tata eva, also, acharitam, what they do, kvachit, sometimes, tesham, of them, yat, which, svavacha, with their own words, yuktam, in agreement, buddhiman, one who is intelligent, tat, that samacharit should perform. Translation purport by servants of this divine gracious Prabhupada. The statements of the Lord's empowered servants are always true, and the acts they perform are exemplary when consistent with those statements. Therefore, one who is intelligent should carry out their instructions. Please repeat, the statements of the Lord's empowered servants are always true, and the acts they perform are exemplary when consistent with those statements. Therefore, one who is intelligent should carry out their instructions. Purport, the word Ishvar is usually defined in Sanskrit dictionaries as Lord, Master, Ruler, and also as capable, potent to perform. Srila Prabhupada often translated the word Ishvara as controller, which brilliantly synthesizes the two fundamental concepts of Ishvara, namely a master or ruler and a capable or potent person. A master may be incompetent, but a controller is a master or lord who, in fact, makes things happen. The Parameshvara, the Supreme Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, is, of course, God, Krishna, the cause of all causes. Although people in general, especially in the Western countries, are not aware of the fact, powerful personalities control our universe. The modern impersonal concept of the universe depicts an almost totally lifeless cosmos in which the earth floats meaninglessly. Thus we are left with the dubious ultimate purpose of preserving and reproducing our genetic code, which has its own ultimate purpose of adding another link to the meaningless chain of events by again reproducing itself. In contrast to the sterile, meaningless world concocted by ignorant materialists, the actual universe is full of life, personal life, and in fact full of God, who pervades and supports all that exists. The essence of reality is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his personal relationship with the innumerable living beings of whom we are samples. Some of the living beings are trapped in the illusion of materialism or identification with the material body, while others are liberated, aware of their eternal spiritual nature. A third class comprises those progressing in self-realization from the materialistic state of ignorance to the enlightened state of Krishna consciousness. Reality is ultimately personal and divine, and therefore it is not surprising that as the Vedic literature reveals to us, our universe and other universes are managed by great personalities, just as our city, state, and country are managed by empowered personalities. When we democratically award a particular politician the right to govern, we vote for him because he has exhibited something we call leadership or ability. We think he'll get the job done. In other words, it is only after an individual acquires the power to govern that we vote for him. Our vote does not make him a leader, but rather recognizes a power in him coming from some other source. Thus, as Lord Krishna explains at the end of the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, any living being exhibiting an extraordinary power, ability, or authority must have been empowered by the Lord himself or by the Lord's energy. You can see that. What is that? Yad yad vibhutimat sattam. What? Yad yad vibhutimat sattam. Yes. Srimad urjitam eva va. Tat tad eva va gachatam. Mama te jom sambhava. Krishna says at the end of the 10th chapter there. We'll just have a break here. Says, know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring but from a spark of my splendor. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, any glorious or beautiful existence should be understood to be but a fragmental manifestation of Krishna's opulence, whether it be in the spiritual or material world. Anything extraordinarily opulent should be considered to represent Krishna's opulence. So then, it goes on the purport, those directly empowered by the Lord are devoted to him, and thus their power and influence spread goodness throughout the world, whereas those who are empowered by the Lord's illusory potency are in an indirect relationship with Krishna because they do not directly reflect his will. Of course, they do reflect his will indirectly, since it is by Krishna's arrangement that the laws of nature act upon ignorant living beings, gradually persuading them through their journey of many lifetimes to surrender to the Supreme Lord. Thus, as politicians create wars, false hopes, and innumerable passionate schemes for the materialistic persons who follow them, the politicians are indirectly carrying out the Lord's program of allowing the conditioned souls to experience the bitter fruit of godlessness. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has translated the word Ishwaranam as those who have become powerful through knowledge and austerity. As one understands the nature and will of God and makes the personal sacrifice required to achieve excellence in spiritual life, one becomes empowered by the Supreme Lord to represent His will, which one has intelligently recognized and accepted. The Supreme Personality of Godhead kindly descends to earth to show a vivid example of religious behavior. As Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita 3:24, if I did not execute standard duties, the whole world would be misled and in fact destroyed. Thus the Lord showed in His different incarnations how to act properly in this world. A good example is Lord Ramchandra, who behaved wonderfully as the son of King Dasharatha. But when Lord Krishna descends, He also demonstrates the ultimate religious principle, namely that the Supreme Lord is beyond all other living beings and that no one can imitate His supreme position. This foremost of all religious principles, that the Lord is unique, without equal or superior, was clearly demonstrated in Lord Krishna's apparently immoral pastimes with the gopis. No one can imitate these activities without incurring dire consequences, as explained here by Shukadeva Goswami. One who thinks that Lord Krishna is an ordinary living being subjected to lust, or who accepts His rasa dance as admirable and tries to imitate it, will certainly be vanquished, as described in text 30 of this chapter. Finally, a distinction must be made between the Lord and His empowered servants. An empowered servant of the Lord, as in the case of Brahma, may experience a remnant of reactions to previous activities according to the law of karma. But the Lord is eternally free from any entanglement in the laws of karma. He is in a unique platform. He is on a unique platform. So text 30 is just previous paragraph. It describes that one who wants to tries to imitate the rasa dance will be vanquished, as described in text 30, which says, one who is not a great controller should never imitate the behavior of ruling personalities, even mentally. If out of foolishness an ordinary person does imitate such behavior, he will simply destroy himself, just as a person who is not Rudra would destroy himself if he tried to drink an ocean of poison. That's a very famous verse. Naitat samacharich jatu. Okay. So, what is that? Lokastanavartite, that whatever acts a great man does, common men follow. This is the nature of the material world, that one person is leading, someone is following. And of course in the material world that equates to one is cheating and the others are being cheated. The cheaters and the cheated, that is the translation of the material world, that one is leading and one is following. Because in the material world everyone is simply in ignorance. That they, just like one blind man, he is leading some other blind men, and where they're going, they're blind, how they will go, how they will get to any destination, any goal, what is their goal? They have no goal. They're simply blind as to what is the purpose of life. But so, here, of course, Srila Prabhupada, the servants of Srila Prabhupada are talking about Ishvara. They're giving some definition, Ishvara, what the Sanskrit dictionaries say about Ishvara. So this is Ishvara, this is interesting, this is one of the qualities of Krishna that is described by Srila Rupa Goswami, he gives the different qualities of Krishna, and then in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this is the comes at number 50. So this is included in the qualities that the living entity can have. And it's interesting, I looked in the purports there that Bhanuswami translated, he doesn't say, doesn't give any definition, doesn't distinguish what kind of Ishwar it is. But Srila Prabhupada says that there are two kinds of controllers or lords. The Ishwar is the word that is used by Rupa Goswami. Ishwar, the controller, as we described in the purport, that Ishwar is usually, he says often, they say often translated the word Ishwar as controller. I think it's usually, but anyway, in this case, it's controller or lords. So there's two kinds. Srila Prabhupada makes that distinction, apparently. One who is independent is called a controller, and one whose orders cannot be neglected by anyone is called a controller. So then, Srila Prabhupada apparently gives these two different examples. He gives the example that one who is independent, just like Krishna, he danced on the heads of Kaliya, thereby touching Kaliya's heads with his lotus feet. Whereas Lord Brahma, after stealing his cowherd boys and calves like that, he prayed to Krishna with many wonderful verses, and still he could not attract Krishna. This just the words that are used here. So this then it goes on that this contrary treatment by Krishna is just befitting his position, because in all the Vedic literature he is described as the complete independent. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord is described as Sarat, which means completely independent. That is the position of the Supreme Absolute Truth. He is not only sentient, abhigya swarat, that he is also completely independent. And then he gives some quotation from the third canto, chapters 2, text 21, where Krishna's orders are not being neglected by anyone, where Uddhava tells Vidura, Lord Krishna is the master of the three modes of material nature. He is the enjoyer of all opulences, and therefore no one is equal to or greater than him. All the great kings and emperors used to come before him, offer their gifts, and pay obeisances with their helmets at the feet of the Lord. And then it gives the example that some devotee tells Krishna that when you order Brahma to create, he creates, and when you order Lord Shiva to destroy, he destroys. So this way, Krishna's order is never neglected by anyone. So these are, this Ishvara, this is comes in the number 50, the 50th quality of Krishna. This is one of the qualities that the living entities can also possess. So that is it just being described in the purport generally, that Ishvaranam Vacha Satyam, that the statements of the Lord's empowered servants are always true. We also see that Krishna gives that distinction to his servants in the Bhagavad Gita. Kaunte pratijani hi name bhakta pranashati. He tells Arjun, you declare it boldly that my devotees will never be vanquished. So Srila Prabhupada explains that sometimes Krishna's word is not accepted, not found to be true. That example is given that Krishna vowed not to take up any weapon in the battle of Kurukshetra, but Bhishma Dev, by his chivalrous activities, induced Krishna to break that vow, because that sporting was going on. This is part of the chivalry that they, what is that, make some bane, some they boast like that. They boast that I will do this or I will do that. So this way, Bhishma said that, well, if I either I'll defeat Arjuna or Krishna will have to take up his weapons to defend him like that. So this way, Krishna's words sometimes may not prove true, but the devotee's words, therefore Krishna tells Arjuna that you declare it boldly. Because the devotee's words, Krishna is acting to protect his devotees. His devotees are so dear to him that Krishna makes sure that their words are true. Another point that we're very interesting, I wanted to review something that we read, chapter 28, about what it means to be controller. That in the purport, they quote Srila Jiva Goswami talking about how Krishna is dealt with by the Brijvasis, how they treat him. One may consider their activities of treating Krishna as a helpless child, a handsome boyfriend, or a playmate to be a manifestation of avidya, or ignorance of Lord Krishna's position of God. But the residents of Vrindavan are in fact ignoring the secondary majesty of Krishna and focusing intensely on his infinite beauty, which is the essence of his existence. It goes on, in fact, describing Lord Krishna as the supreme controller and God is almost a type of political analysis, referring as it does to a hierarchy of power and control. Such analysis of levels of power and hierarchies of rule is significant in context in which one entity is not fully surrendered in love to a higher entity. In other words, control becomes visible or is consciously felt as control when there is resistance to that control. To cite an example, a pious law-abiding citizen sees the policeman as a friend and well-wisher, whereas a criminal sees him as a threatening form of punishment. Thus, Lord Krishna is seen as controller and hence as the supreme God by those who are not fully enchanted by his beauty and pastimes. Those fully in love with Krishna focus on his sublime attractive features, and because of the nature of the relationship with him, do not notice his controlling power. So, controller means that he has some kind of, just like there's very interesting account of Judd Barrett when he was one time recruited to carry the palanquin of King Rahugana. And Judd Barrett was an avidut, that's described in the fifth canto. Judd Barrett was an avidut, so he didn't care for what external features like that, but he was conscious that when he was carrying the palanquin of the ants and bugs like that on the path, so he was doing a very good job of carrying the palanquin. He would stop and move and shake like this, and this King Rahugana became very agitated, and that, why are you carrying like this? You don't understand, I'm the controller, I'm the ruler, I'm the king, and you're my subject. And he insulted, or tried to insult actually, Judd Barrett in many ways, calling him that you're just like you're dead, but you're living, or living but dead, and you're not very stout, why you can't carry a palanquin. So Judd Barrett, he made that, he pointed out that, well, no, I'm not identifying with the material body, so I'm not stout and strong. I'm not very, and as far as you being the controller, as here we're describing, here you being the controller, you're the king and I'm the subject. This is a temporary thing. That sometimes you may be king and I may be subject now, but in the future that may be changed. Actually, it was a fact that Judd Barrett was previously Bharat Maharaj, And then he had taken birth as a deer, and then he became Judd Bharat like that. So this way, Chaitanya Charitamrita, this Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Kabu Swarge Utaya, Kabu Naraka Dubaya, that sometimes you're going just like on a Ferris wheel, you're going very high, sometimes heavenly planets, and becoming king or ruler or president. It's interesting, we have President's Day today, we're describing this as Ishwar. But these type of Ishwar in the material world, just like this King Rahugana, this is a temporary situation. And actually, it's described that Harava Bhaktasya Kuto Mahadguna, that they're not actually have any good qualities. They may appear that they're big rulers or powerful persons, but these are not, that's not accepted by the one who is in knowledge. Kuto Mahadguna. Where is their good qualification? They have no good qualification. And Srimad Bhagavatam furthermore says that, what is that? Svavidvara hoshtra krai samstuta purusha pushu. That some people who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, they glorify these godless persons. Svavidvara hoshtra krai samstuta purusha pushu. Dvipada pashu. They're two-legged animals. Nayat karna patopita jatu namara gadagraja, because they don't engage in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they have no good qualifications at all. Even though, of course, they describe here in the purport very nicely, they cover all these different points that they reflect Krishna's will indirectly, because it is Krishna's arrangement by the laws of nature that the laws of nature act upon ignorant living beings. So this way, maya jakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Krishna is also controlling these gross materialists, so he gives them, just like the expression is that, give enough rope to someone so they can hang himself. So people in the material world, they want to enjoy themselves separately from Krishna. So Krishna gives them that opportunity. They gives them opportunity to become president, prime minister, or whatever, or policeman, like that. This way they can perform their pastimes of being the controllers, so-called controllers in this material world. But they have no control. They can't even control their own bodily functions like that. What type of control they have. And ultimately, mrityu sarva haras chaham, that Krishna takes away everything from them. That they think that they accumulate so many toys and so much position and power, influence in this material world, and they think that they become very great controllers. But at the time of death, what type of control they have? They have no control where they're going to go. Or Srila Prabhupada gives the example of he had some acquaintance that, I can give you so much money if you can just give me 2 more years. I just need 2 more years to fulfill all my plans. But they're not able to have even 2 more days, 2 more moments even. So, Ishvarahama Hambogi. They also think like that they become controllers. That is described by Krishna in the 16th chapter, Divine and Demoniac Nature of Bhagavad Gita. They think, Ishvaraham, that I become the controller. But that, of course, Vedic culture is there, that the Kshatriyas, they had that mentality, they had that, what is it? Dhanam Ishvara Bhavascha. Ishvara, they're also Kshatriyas, they think that mood is there. That is the quality of a Kshatriya, that he has to think in that way, that he's going to be able to, on behalf of Krishna, that was the point. So on behalf of Krishna, one can become big controller. That is the That is the glory of the devotees, that because that is... So we have material controllers, and then we have spiritually. Spiritually, on behalf of Krishna, we see that Arjuna, he told Krishna, he was ordering Krishna, take my chariot to the middle of the army, in between the two armies. And Hanuman, he burned Lanka, jumped over the ocean to Lanka on behalf of Lord Ramchandra. So, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, no? He gives that the spiritual master, Krishna Setamar, Krishna Dite Par, that what to speak of material world, we have the devotee is so powerful, so dear to Krishna, actually, that Krishna Setamar, Krishna belongs to you. The devotee prays to the spiritual master that Krishna belongs to you, Krishna Dite Par, that you have the ability to give Krishna. That is the controlling power of the devotee, that they become even more powerful by the grace of Krishna. So, I think we'll stop there. Anyone has some questions or comments? President's Day today. Let them think they're controllers. Huh? Yes?
I was going to ask if you are saying that spiritual controllers, not only do they act on behalf of the Lord, but also perhaps they are expert in discerning the will of the Lord, acting as the transparent medium of the Lord's will.
Yes, of course. That's a comment or question?
I guess it's a question. When we're talking about spiritual controllers, are we saying that also they are more or less expert in discerning Krishna's will?
Yes, of course. That's the whole basis of their power, that as Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita there, that mama tejo sambhava, there everything beautiful, powerful, opulent is springing from a spark of my splendor, mama tejo amsa sambhava. So this all, that is, I was thinking also like this, that someone who is directly representing, directly, not indirectly, but someone who is directly representing Krishna's power or opulence, they're called Shaktivish avatar, like that. Like we have, Srila Prabhupada is accepted by most of the devotees, that he's representing Krishna's, his empowered living entity to spread this Krishna consciousness, just like so many Shaktivish avatar, that means someone who is specifically empowered for a specific purpose, that Krishna is giving that living entity this power to do this activity. I think Vyasadeva is empowered living entity like that. Narad Muni, he's empowered to preach devotional service. Prithu Maharaj, I think, was empowered to, with the administration, yes, like that. So someone who is empowered by the Lord for a particular purpose, that is, not that independently. Devotee has, what is that, a very nice description about the, Srila Prabhupada describes the Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Riksha, the In the spiritual world, the trees fulfill the desires of the devotees, but the devotees have no desire other than the service of the Lord. So that is the nature of the devotee. The devotees in the material world, we're trained to understand what is the will of Krishna by the spiritual master. The spiritual master gives that training to the devotee. That is called Vaidhi Bhakti, that one, in the beginning, one follows the instructions of the spiritual master, and as he becomes accustomed to following the orders of the spiritual master, then eventually he'll understand that the orders of the spiritual master and the directions given by the super soul are identical like that. And then one can eventually become trained to hear the super soul and then directly from Krishna like that. Yes.
I was also wondering, the statement, the verse before this one was that you shouldn't imitate.
Yes.
And then this one it says that you should follow. So it reminded me of Mahajana Katasapanta. You know, what are the real religious principles? Where do you find those real religious principles? And here it's saying that it's the empowered servants. What they say is always true. And when, and then they act according to those exemplary, their acts that they perform are exemplary when consistent with those statements. So that's also an interesting aspect, when consistent with those statements.
Yeah, the Sanskrit is there, kwachit, sometimes. I don't know.
So it says, so when you find that acharya, one who is preaching by his example, one who is... his actions and his words are not different. Then he said, those instructions, if you're intelligent, you should carry out those instructions. And so it's saying, don't imitate, but here's who to follow and what to do. And then, of course, Krishna, he builds that up with the dharmas, tu shakshak bhagavat pradantam, but who has that is in the hearts of the pure devotees.
I think when Lakshmi was looking for consort after the churning of the milk ocean, no, she had garland. She was looking for husband, Swayamvar like that. She was looking and she was seeing that some people doing very nice talking or someone acting, but someone who is doing both, that is, or actually the Haridas Thakur, no, that was described like that. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, that you're both preaching and practicing. Huh? Acharya, yeah. Achar Pracharya, yeah. Yes, I think it was described there that it's very rare to find someone who both acts properly and preaches properly like that. That is the... All right, anything else? Jaya Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya Shri Prabhupada.